Welcome to Talk the Walk with Todd Friel on AM 980 KKMS.
Rebuke alert, rebuke alert. I'm being gently rebuked off the air, and now I'm going to get rebuked on the air. As we begin this year's program, Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS, the first thing that I asked in the 3 o'clock hour was, the preacher that we are focusing on today is Jesse Duplantis, who seems to talk like he's black. He kind of slides in and out. He's not very consistent with it. And Carl is calling in saying, you shouldn't say that. That's very offensive to black people. And I want to know if indeed it is. So, Carl, you think that that's offensive to even ask that question?
Yeah, I do think it's offensive. The generalization is that the blacks have a dialect. Well, maybe amongst themselves, they might hear a street slang here and there. But what I'm referring to is this guy speaks in a southern slang. And I've been in southern churches and spoke to southern preachers in person. They speak nothing like they speak when they're on TV or in person.
Yeah, which tells me that they're pandering.
They're pandering to it's a speech pattern. He's speaking to simple people who like simple things.
No, not just the simplicity of speech. It's just the way that he's speaking that's different.
But you'll also see in that audience, there aren't a whole lot of black folks speaking about this Jesse Duplantis.
Oh, yes, there are.
Well, it depends on where you're at, too.
Oh, a lot of these guys, they flourish down south. There's no question about that. But
sure.
Carl, I could be wrong about this, and please, I'm not trying to be offensive at all. I hope that people aren't going to jump on me simply because I'm asking the question sincerely.
I've heard it before, and I don't think anybody's going to be mad or angry at you. I'm just saying I've heard that sort of tone before, and again, like I told you, I've got my aunt's black. I've got plenty of family members that are black. Best friend, as I said, is black. I've heard that sort of thing before. Heard it with them and amongst them. They don't take kindly to it.
I'm not sure what they don't take kindly to, but would you at least agree that there is a dialect that is unique and distinct to black people?
Well, then you'd have to say then there's a dialect unique and distinct amongst white people.
There is.
Not.
Oh, sure there is. Depending on what part of the country you're in, sure there is. But there's definitely white people and black people speak differently, don't you think?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, you know what? Maybe I'm naive. I guess I must be.
It depends on what part of the country you're in. I've heard white people in the South with that same slang dialect that people have asked me on the phone several times.
All right.
I work in customer service. Are you black? No, I'm not black.
All right.
I have an inner city slang when I start talking loosely, too. I mean, it's just something to think about.
All right. I appreciate it, Carl. Thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate it. You're listening to Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS. Sam, hello.
Yeah, Todd.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just tuned in, and I know who you're talking about, Jesse Duplantis.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of a lot of hype that probably isn't great, isn't very edifying to the body, but I wonder why we're even on the topic of him speaking in a black vernacular.
Because I think that he does. And my question was, is this offensive to black people? Because that does seem to be a vast part of his audience. And because we're focusing on false teachers today, it seems that he's using a dialect that isn't natural to him in order to pander.
And pander meaning what?
Pander to try to become one with the type, with the audience that he's speaking to, as if to be like I'm one of you.
Okay.
And I just think that it's another sign that the guy's a charlatan.
Okay. All right. So I can. So you're saying that that's possibly another sign that he is not preaching in truth.
Well, it could
because he's using something to affect people rather than just the word.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think the word is disingenuous.
Okay.
And if, for instance, Sam, if I went over to preach in England and yeah, I tried to start speaking with a British accent, well, that would be a little preposterous. And it seems that that's exactly what he's doing in the States.
Okay.
That's all.
Sure.
Sam, I appreciate your phone call very much. Let's listen to a little clip of the fellow in question here. And just so you know, if you're just tuning in, here's why we listen to a fellow like this. It's not because we sit and listen to an entire sermon by this individual, not by any means. I can't put this on pause fast enough. we played some of his sermon. We focused the entire last hour on playing part of his sermon We've gotten 7 minutes into the thing. Actually, we've done about 6 minutes and 12 seconds because I have to keep interrupting it because of the false teaching one after the other. And what I hope that we will be able to do as we work our way through a sermon by an individual like this is learn how to identify the false teaching. What is he doing? How is he twisting scripture? Where is he lacking in biblical principles, in proper hermeneutics techniques, in an understanding of grammatical and historical principles, in interpreting scripture? I hope that we will learn together how to deal with that. Now, this is Jesse Duplantis. He, by the way, he's having a conversation with God. That's right, he's having a conversation with God, which is not authorized anywhere in the Bible. It's just preposterous. This simply doesn't happen anymore. And if you've got yourself a teacher who says it does, well, then he'd be a false teacher. So let's pick it up with Jesse Duplantis having a conversation with God.
He said, I got too much mercy and too much grace. He said, when you fed up with people, I go an extra mile. One time Moses, bless God, God got angry at the nation of Israel. He said, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill every one of them. And Moses said, no, Lord, you kill them people, blot my name out of the Lamb's book. God said, okay. And then a week later, Moses said, kill them all, God.
Need you to remind you, if you're just tuning in, this is based on Mark 4, the parable of the four soils. Talking about the 30, 60, and 100 fold that springs up from the soil that is properly churned. We know, because Jesus explained it, that the 30, 60, and 100 fold is talking about fruit from the believer, from the truly saved, born-again believer that is described. Jesse has twisted scripture to make it God's blessings. If you are the right type of believer, you'll get God's blessings 30, 60, and 100 fold. Hello.
How many of you Christians, how many of you know, right? You know a Christian you'd like to slap. Don't lift your hand up. There's some aggravating people in the world, isn't it? Don't look around here. I said, well, Lord, why? He said, I'm too much, Jesse. I'm beyond human reasoning. I'm pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. I'm pressed down. Okay, let's just deal with that first right now, shall we? It's just, let's cleansing breath. Cleansing breath. That is, when people do that, it just makes me crazy. God didn't say that about himself. All right. Nonetheless, who did he say that to? And is that the Bible verse that says God is just going to give us tons of blessings? Well, that is probably the favorite Old Testament verse of prosperity teachers. See if I won't bless you. See if I won't pour out such a blessing you just don't know what to do with it. Just try it. I dare you. Now, somebody could take a look at that verse and say, well, God says it, so let's do it. And that's exactly what Jesse and his pals do. However, we've got to ask ourselves some biblical interpreting principle questions. Does the Bible even suggest that anywhere else in the scripture, that we can somehow manipulate and maneuver God to be our little genie to provide blessings for us? No, there's nothing that says that. Is there any place else in the Bible where God says, you just give a little, I'll give you a lot? No. Is there any place else in the Bible that says that God operates? No. So what do we do with that verse? That is one of those times when we have to look at it and say, ah, God is talking to a specific people at a certain time for a certain reason. And we don't get every promise, and we don't get every word that God speaks as if it's our own. A good example of that would be the prayer of Hezekiah. I would suggest to you it's probably the prayer of Jabez too, but let's just take the prayer of Hezekiah. Hezekiah prayed, oh God, I don't want to die. So God said, I see your heart, I'm going to give you 15 more years. So why don't we pray the prayer of Hezekiah? Well, it's not for us. We don't get to pray the prayer. That was a prayer of that guy at that time for a specific reason, and God allowed it. We don't get to claim it as our own. Same thing is true of Jeremiah 29. This is a verse that we've dealt with in the past. People love to claim Jeremiah 29. Here, I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper, says the Lord. Oh boy, God's got a wonderful plan for my life. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in Jeremiah 29. God is usually speaking to somebody. He's usually speaking to the church at large or a specific church that he's writing to, that one of the apostles is writing to. that Paul is writing to. And the same thing is true in the book of Jeremiah. God is speaking to the people of Israel. Can we take that promise that is given to the people of Israel and say, that's our own? I would suggest to you, no, we can't. God's plans aren't to prosper everybody who's a Christian, at least not materially. Because if you read a little bit further down in Jeremiah 29, I notice nobody claims this promise. Furthermore, that goes on to say, that was Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Okay, so people grab that and go, oh boy, that God's just going to, oh, it's just going to be great. He's going to give me everything that I want. Well, let's go down a little bit further. This is what the Lord, I will send war, famine, and disease upon them and make them like rotting figs, too bad to eat. Nobody's claiming that promise because it wasn't written to us. It was written to somebody very specific. They had a specific time for a certain reason. And the same thing is true of those prosperity verses. Now, what about the, I come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's the other favorite one of the prosperity. That's the New Testament gold mine for the prosperity preachers. What is Jesus talking about? Spiritual blessings. Not blessings of cash. Let's listen to a little bit more of Jesse talking to God.
I'm not just enough. And the reason why I never make just enough, because somebody else may be coming in, you're not expecting going to be there, and you got to have more than enough.
Again, he has taken fruit, the 30, 60, and 100-fold, and he's said that God, that's blessings. Well, the foundation is not just off kilter here. It's just cracked and rotted, and there isn't a foundation. He's misapplying, misinterpreting the entire meaning of the scriptural passage.
He said the reason let me just tell you the reason I'm going to give you a revelation.
Hold on, Jesse. God doesn't give you revelations, okay? If a preacher says God gave him a revelation, do not walk, run for the door.
Me and Brother Copeland like to have a fit when I begin to preach this. He said the reason why I said 36 and 104, I wanted to see where you choke. Title of this message tonight is The Chokehold.
All righty, we're going to get into that. The title of the message is The Chokehold. Because you see, Christian, you know why you don't have a lot of stuff? Because you choke on the blessings. You know, I got to tell you something, Jesse. Go ahead, Jesse. You got the dough, I know you do. Write me a check for $1 million. I promise I won't choke. But here's what's going to be fun about listening to this little sermon of Jesse Duplantis. What biblical principle is he talking about? The chokehold. What are you talking about? We'll discover that in just a moment first. Winnie, hello.
Hi, Todd.
Yes.
Oh, according to him, if you're walking with the Lord, you'll be blessed. What about the Christians that are being martyrs in China Pakistan?
God doesn't love them very much, Winnie. He just loves you.
They're full of hotcakes.
Wow. I hope that's about as filthy as it'll ever get here on Talk the Walk. Larry, hello.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I imagine where those prosperity teachers have gotten, or at least some others have gotten, where those verses about, you know, all the promises in the book of mine, because there's a hymnal, an old hymn that says all the promises in the Bible of mine, every book, every chapter, every line. And my pastor, I talked to him about that, and he said that Jeremiah 29:11 is for us, because when you overlap that or compare it with, like, say, Romans 8:28, all things work for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose, there is a plan that's implied in that. So generally speaking, I guess we can claim that, not for the specific reasons that were given at that time, but in general, God does have a plan for our lives, you know?
All right, Larry, let me give it a go. I thank you for your phone call. Let's take a look, then, at this promise. Let's claim this one, Christians. Come on, let's see how long of a line we can form behind this promise. This would be in Hebrews chapter 11. Would you like to join up for this little promise? Others trusted God and were tortured. Take a number. Just line up. Go ahead and take a number. Preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free, they placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half. Hey, Tony, if we need crowd control, you let me know. If it's getting out of control there, this is like people auditioning for American Idol.
Look at Joey.
Others were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. All right, do we take comfort in knowing that God is in control? Of course we do. But do we get to take a Bible verse and say that, oh, God is going to turn everything into just a wonderful thing? Yeah. Ultimately, he will, for his glory in eternity. But no promise on this. There are three promises you get for being a Christian. Three promises. This is what you can promise if you sign up for Christianity. You can promise, be promised this. Trials, temptation, and persecution. That's the promise of being a Christian. And that is biblical. 651-681-8255. 651-681-8255. Back with Jesse Duplantis on False Teacher Tuesday here on Talk the Walk, AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio, and Pete Bush in traffic. Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio. It's False Teacher Tuesday. We're talking about just a rich one, no pun intended. We're talking about Jesse Duplantis, who has conversations with God. Ever wondered what it's like to talk with God? Well, wonder no more.
He said, I wanted to see why I had to stop blessing you because you can't receive it.
Okay, what Jesse's going to talk about is why you aren't getting blessed. Jesse had a conversation with God, got himself a new revelation, which the Bible says is strictly forbidden. Doesn't happen anymore. And he's going to tell you why you aren't rich. Haven't you always wanted to know? Well, because Jesse's got to tell you. Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS. Let's talk to John in Bloomington. Hello, John.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm glad you called.
I'm loving everything you're saying. You are 100% right on the money. Pardon my pun. one pun deserves another. But, Todd, I counsel some people from time to time on this topic, and I do like a motivator once in a while because I do brag about my own personal experience. What am I going to do with, like, Joshua 1:8? Which is a favorite of mine, which talks about, really talks more about obedience.
Right, because there's a promise given in John 1, but there's also, it's a contingent promise.
Yes.
If you're obedient.
Correct. And, that contingency follows through just about every other verse, and there's dozens of them, as it relates to blessing, and obedience, almost in the exact same equation. And, Malachi 3 has been another one of mine, and, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But
what we need to remember, though, John, is we need to define what blessings are. That's
correct.
All. God pours them out. He really does. But we just have to remember to define them the same way God does.
Correct. And it's blessings on God's terms, not man's.
Oh, yeah. And so what I would love to be able to do, John, is simply create another word for blessings. So that because as soon as I hear blessing, my mind has been trained to think, oh, cash. And God doesn't think blessings is money or property. God thinks blessings is grace and peace and spiritual things. So I think it's okay to talk about the wonderful blessings of God as long as people are very clear on what we're talking about. Are you still there, John?
That's a good clarification. I just, I'm sitting here listening, agreeing with virtually everything you say. I wouldn't want listeners to be discouraged, on the area of blessing, almost to the point where they get the impression that God doesn't want people to prosper. Actually, I think the reverse is true. Not everybody is called to, handle such, but to each their own according to their ability.
Oh, yeah, and I think, too, just based in God's grand scheme, where he needs to direct things so that his ministry, his work can be done and he can be glorified. Hey, John, I appreciate your phone call and the wise admonition, too. Does God bless? Oh, yes. Let's just remember what those blessings are, how God defines them, not how we do. Another thing, too, John, I might suggest this. We have to make sure that we have those conversations with people who really are born-again Christians. Because sometimes, well, actually frequently, what happens is if we try to paint Christianity, even inadvertently, in talking about how wonderful it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and it is wonderful, there's no question about that, those things can seem like they are almost draw cards to salvation. Hey, I'd like that. And if somebody comes seeking the gifts and not the giver, they're not going to get the gifts because they're still an enemy of God in their mind through wicked works. They need to repent, put their trust in Jesus Christ, die to themselves, and then, voila, then God gives them grace and peace and love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, all those wonderful things. But we need to be a little bit careful.
Sam,
and one of the things, too, that happens a lot is we just hear probably too much about God's goodness. Is God good? Yeah. God is good. But he's also righteous and holy and angry and vengeful. So just a little bit of a balance issue. By the way, our March Book of the Month, if you would like to read more about this, I would challenge you to read a book by John MacArthur. This is our Oprah Winfrey Book of the Month Club without Oprah Winfrey. Go to Northwestern bookstores, pick up John MacArthur's Hard to Believe. You will be challenged. You might be dragged over the rocks. You might go, yes, that's exactly right. Regardless, it is a great read. And if you go to Northwestern bookstores, find the Talk the Walk display, grab John MacArthur's Hard to Believe, and then give them the code word, and they'll give you 20% off.
Muskrat knows.
Oh, what is the code word? Faith.
Fizzle.
The word, no, the word is faith. They make you say a code word. So just know the word faith. Hard to believe. Get it? Believe? Faith? So just say the code word. They'll give you 20% off. Read the book. And it presents Christianity in its true light. Christianity is not an easy gig. No, salvation is free, of course. Grace is amazing, absolutely. But being a Christian is not an easy gig. Even becoming a Christian is not easy. You must die to yourself. Actually, the law will kill you. But that's no easy entrance. I'm not saying it's works-driven. Please don't hear that. I'm not adding to salvation. But coming to the end of yourself, understanding you're a wretched, worthless worm with no value. No value whatsoever. No value. We have no value to God. We have nothing that will benefit his existence. Nothing. And that's what makes love that he shows to us so amazing. And that while we were sinners, he died for us. We have no value, and yet he died for us? Imagine that. Well, you might die for your child. I would. In a second, I would. I would die for my wife. I sign me up. You put me in the front of the line for that. You would, too, I'm guessing. I mean, not for my wife and children, but for your own. So let me ask this, though. Would you die for a dung beetle? Would you? Now, some people would look at that and go, well, if you do that, you're pretty silly. Or you really love dung beetles, those worthless little nothings. You love them that much that you'd be willing to die for them? That's amazing. That's incomprehensible. You can't get your brain around that. A human being loves dung beetles so much he's willing to die for them? I just can't comprehend that love. He's either crazy or it's just a love that I can't fathom. Well, God isn't crazy. And guess what, dung beetle? He chose to die for us. He stooped that low. When you go see The Passion, watch it like a dung beetle. Think about that. He didn't come to because, oh, we're so spanky, and, oh, he just loves us so much, and we're so valuable, and he just wants to make sure he gets our delightful company in heaven. Wrong. He was completely content with himself. Watch it like a dung beetle. Oh, you want to cry then? Oh, boy. You want to appreciate amazing grace and the love of God? Look at what he did. And you're a dung beetle. Wow. Wow. 651-681-8255. I'm sorry, Jim in Minneapolis. I would love to take your phone call, but Tony simply won't. He insists on dealing with this commercial and traffic business. Not given, huh? Not going to budge on this
one. Oh, fine.
All righty, there we go. Jim from Minneapolis, thanks for calling.
Hey, man, preach it. Hey, your Twisted Scripture song didn't fly very well.
Getting complaints on that one.
Yeah, I got something that could replace it.
Oh, what do you got?
I don't, but you've got it.
What do we have?
What you need to do is you need to take Winnie's call and take the little clip out that says, they're full of hotcakes. That'd be awesome. Every time you play one of these clips from one of these false teachers, they're full of hotcakes. That'd be great.
Thank you very much, Jim.
No, but hey, I got
just
a quick question. On Jesse Duplantis,
yeah.
Isn't it interesting that the Book of Job is one of their favorite books?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Oh, look at how God blessed Job.
Oh, yeah.
There, Jim, thanks for your phone call. I saw the funny, Jim, you'll like this. I saw a very funny cartoon. I think it's called Reverend. We're getting some of them put on our Talk the Walk website, which is just keeps getting better and better every day, thanks to Mike, who takes care of ttwministries.com. There's, try to picture this in your mind. There's a fence, and it's, you can tell it's kind of Israel, it's Old Testament days, and on one side of the fence, is Job. And he's sitting there with in ashes, with sackcloth and ashes, with broken pottery around him. looking pretty miserable. Everything looks burned down and gravestones every place. And on the other side of the fence is Jabez. Got himself a big old shack. Twisted Scripture, next with Jesse Duplantis on False Teacher Tuesday. Talk the Walk, AM 980, KKMS, more spirited talk radio, and Pete Bush in traffic. I was almost going to say a free-for-all Tuesday. It's starting to feel like that here on Talk the Walk. We are focusing on Jesse Duplantis on our little False Teacher Tuesday because Jesse is all over the place. And, well, Jesse, if you didn't know this, has conversations with God. And now Jesse Duplantis is going to tell you why it is you're not rich. Have you ever wondered? Well, wonder no more. God spoke to Jesse. That's right. God decided, I'm going to talk to Jesse Duplantis and let everybody know why they're not rich.
Even though it's in red. Ladies and gentlemen, when the offering is given a little bit later, if you gave $1,000 in that offering, could God give you $100,000 by tomorrow? Look at some of y'all. That's a lot of money. I know it's a lot of money. But Jesse, I know it's a lot of money. And the reason why it's a lot of money, because you're only thinking about yourself. But I promise you, if I gave away $100,000 tonight, I couldn't even get out of this section.
Hey, let's give it a try, Jesse. Why don't you do that? Why don't you give away $100,000 and let's see what you get shaken back, stirred up, falling all over the place, huh? I shouldn't say a good friend, but a guy that I know reasonably well from speaking with him many, many times about Phillips, Craig, and Dean and their little heresy problem, said that he was on one of these shows. And one of these false teachers was interviewing him and said, hey, before you leave here tonight, you really need to give me $1,000 or it was $100 or something like that. And God will turn it into $10,000. And this fellow, Steve Camp, and he said, no, he won't. He will not. Oh, yes, he will. You write out $1,000 to my ministry and you'll get $10,000 back. And he said, no, he said, you don't even believe that. And oh, yes, I do believe that. He said, well, if you do, then write me a check to my ministry for $1,000. Well, no, we don't want to do that exactly. These prosperity preachers, why aren't they giving it all away? Why do they keep asking us for money? Why don't they just give it away? Here's a quote from Jesse Duplantis. This was on one of the religious broadcast channels, September 21st, 1998. You pick the denomination, God picks the multiplication. Oh. God now is the servant of Jesse Duplantis. Oh, boy. Let's go back to a little bit of Jesse, shall we?
Rest of y'all have to go home with nothing. So $100,000, not a lot of money when you got to spread it around all these amount of people. But $100,000 just for you, yeah, that's a lot of money. He said, I want to see where you choke. He said, I wrote that 1,000 years ago and people still can't receive. He said, why do they blame me for their inadequacy to receive what I said they could have? See, it's the choke hold. I prayed for a woman one time. I'll never forget, as long as I ever lived. She had her hands up. She was dying with cancer. She said, Lord, heal me of this cancer, Jesus. I'll keep the diabetes.
I wonder if that woman would be happy that she's being imitated in such a fashion.
She actually said that. Because she could live with diabetes, but couldn't live with cancer. I thought, you got to be kidding me. And she honestly said that. Where do you choke? Where does God have to stop? Because you can't receive. Prime example. My daughter's here tonight. That's Jody back there. Glory to God. She's been married now about 7 years. Am I correct?
All right. Before we get into his little tale about his daughter and his wife, he said this. He said, you can't receive because you've got a place where you choke. Where does God, this is the quote, where does God have to stop because you can't receive? Where does God have to stop because you can't receive? I don't know what Bible verse he's even possibly referring to. None that I can even imagine that he's stretching to get that little teaching out of. But what he's basically going to tell you and me is, you don't have a lot of money, Christian, because you just can't handle it. Really. Give me a go, Jesse. Why don't you open up your big fat checkbook and write me a big fat check, and I'll see if I choke. Come on, give me a shot. $10 million. I think you've got it. You've got yourself a private jet you paid for. Come on. Give it a go. Let's see if I choke. Now, it's very interesting. There's nowhere does he do this. I believe it's in about Numbers chapter 16, I think, where I didn't hear him reference this in the sermon that we're hearing right now. But Numbers 12, 16, somewhere in that neighborhood, where the children of Israel were in the desert, wandering around, And they cried out for meat. We want meat. We want meat. We're tired of manna. And so finally God just says, all right, fine. I'm going to give you meat. And I'm going to give you so much meat you're going to choke on it. And they do. Choke on it, not meaning like they need the Heimlich maneuver, but ugh, I can't stand it. I've had enough meat. If I eat another bite of meat, I'm going to go crazy. Could we please have something else? Now, why did God write that tale? Why did God do that? Because the people were being selfish. They were being self-centered. They weren't grateful to God for what he was graciously providing. And they asked with wrong motives, and God said, okie dokie, then I'm going to give you meat. And you're going to get so sick of it, you're going to choke on it. Now, that's the lesson. That's what he intended to say. Don't pray selfishly. Don't pray in a demanding fashion for stuff you don't need. Don't tempt God. Be grateful to God. Or you're going to choke on it. I might just bless you in a way that causes you to choke on it. But we can't possibly rip out from that passage that there's some sort of chokehold on. You've got a chokehold, so God can't bless you. Please, if there's anybody listening, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice who can tell me what Bible verse says you aren't blessed because you just can't handle it, does that even sound reasonable to you? Would you have really a hard time driving a Mercedes-Benz 300E? I mean, really? Would that be a problem for you? Would you choke on that? Huh? Would they not be able to handle a Lexus? Not be able to handle a home and bear path? Oh, I think I could do okay, Jesse. What Bible verse? But the problem is he started out in Mark chapter 4, misinterpreting that, and now we're so far afield, I don't even know what he's talking about.